We'll start out here in Hebrews chapter 13. Our text this morning will be verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the first two words there are by him. The Holy Spirit tells us here that if we want to come to God to thank him for the blessings that he's given us in Christ Jesus, we come to God thanking him for Christ, by Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. You desire to thank God that he's provided us a mediator? Then we have to come in the mediator. Do we want to thank God for Christ bearing our sin away? Then we have to come to God in Christ our sin bearer. Do we want to thank God for Christ interceding on our behalf? Then we have to come to God through Christ our intercessor. In Colossians 3:17 it says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. By him. And then we read here, it says, by him therefore. Now when it says therefore, you know that something that just came before that is why it's there. So what did we just see in verse 10? It says, we have an altar because Christ is our altar on which our offerings are sanctified, made holy and accepted to God. We can come to God because verse 12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Because Christ's suffering for us without the gate has perfected his people forever, made them holy, therefore we can come to God. That's what we read back in Hebrews 10:19. Look back there with me. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, to come to God the Father and thank him, to come to him in prayer. How? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Therefore, now back in our text, Hebrews 10:13. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? That's the title of this lesson. Let us offer the sacrifice. Now, we've been taught from the beginning of Hebrews up to where we are now that the worship of God is spiritual. That our service to God is spiritual. We've been told that involves the heart and God's grace, not fleshly, carnal services. We were taught that spiritual worship involves coming to Christ, our altar, not an earthly altar. We were taught spiritual worship involves Christ, our bread, our portion, feeding us and us growing spiritually by him, through him, and in him, and not by the various sacrifices and the various ceremonies and the various rituals that men go through in this earth. So, since we don't look to an earthly priest, and we don't offer physical sacrifices according to the law, what can the believer offer? Anybody who's tasted of God's grace and knows that in Christ our sin has been forever put away, anybody who's been made to behold Christ and been made to see that he ever lives to intercede with God on our behalf, that we have an advocate with the Father. Anyone that sees the riches, the abounding riches that we have in Christ Jesus, That person has a desire to thank God, to show forth his thanksgiving to God. But how? What's he going to bring to thank God? Well, the scriptures tell us that it's a spiritual sacrifice. That's what Peter said when he wrote his first epistle. He said, ye also as lively stones. He was given the metaphor of the temple. And he said, but you're the temple. And you're built up as lively stones, a spiritual house, all together collectively, fitly framed together. He said, you make up as believers, you make up the spiritual house of God. And in that temple, what was offered? Sacrifices, right? But he says, instead of you coming now with the blood of a bull or of a goat or of some temporal sacrifice, he says, you're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You've been made priests unto God to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. There's that, by Jesus Christ. So the sacrifice that we offer here is the sacrifice of praise. Look there. Hebrews 13:15. By him, by Christ Jesus, therefore, because of what he's done for us and in us, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Look at this phrase here. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hosea. Look there with me. Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Go back to the beginning of the New Testament. You got Matthew and Malachi, Zechariah, Micah. You keep going back, you'll come to Hosea. Hosea 14:2. It says, it's speaking to a people who've fallen in iniquity. Are you a sinner? Have you fallen in iniquity? When we do that, we think we need to offer something to God to make up for it. We need to read our Bible more. We need to pray more. We need to go to church more. We need to give more. We think of all these physical things that we need to do to make up for that. Well, he says, thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And he says, verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, freely, without any works done by us. Receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Instead of a calf that we offer up their blood, we'll come and offer up praise from our lips. And he says here, the kings of this world won't save us. The mighty horses that we rode on won't save us. We won't look to the work of our hands anymore and say, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. God says, come to me as an orphan. Come to me as one who realizes in your heart that you don't have God for your father. Come to me as fatherless, as an orphan, seeking mercy. And he said, and I'll give you mercy. Nobody that's ever wanted mercy has ever been turned down to receive mercy. Anybody that's ever come to Christ seeking him to forgive iniquity graciously has always found God to forgive iniquity graciously. That's how God desires for us to come to him. Empty-handed, with no sacrifice at all, simply coming to him in the name of his Son, praying for mercy and for forgiveness, for grace, for our sins to be forgiven. And you know what God says? God says, that's praise to me. That's praise to me. Come with, though, he said, I love those more than anything else you could offer. Listen to Psalm 69:30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. It says, praise the name of God magnify him. You know what this world is set on? This world is set on magnifying men and praising men. God says, come to me, praising me and magnifying my name. He said, I'm the Lord, and that is my name. I won't give my praise to graven images. I won't share my glory with another. God's a jealous God. He won't share his glory with you or me. We're going to come to him. We've got to come to him empty-handed in his Son alone. And our Lord said this, when you pray, he said, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. His name is hallowed. His name is sacred. His holy and reverend is his name. And the psalmist tells us to praise his goodness and his wonderful works towards us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We like to declare our works. We like to brag on what we've done. We like to talk about us. But God's not pleased when we talk about us, when we praise one another. He's pleased when we glorify and magnify his name and his goodness and his works. It's the only goodness and the only works worth mentioning. In fact, when he creates life in a person and gives them a heart for Christ, and it says that we become zealous for good works, the good works we're zealous for are the works that Christ our Lord has performed. It's his finished work of redemption, of sanctification, of righteousness. And we're zealous to conduct ourselves in a manner that will glorify his name and glorify those works that he performed. But he says to us here, give thanks unto the Lord. I'll give you some homework. I'm going to give you some homework. Go home tonight and read Psalm 136. Just read the whole Psalm, Psalm 136. It starts like this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. It talks about him being the God of gods and the Lord of lords. It speaks of his wisdom in creating the heavens and the earth. It speaks of how he delivered Israel through the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh and his army and all their enemies, and how he led them through the wilderness and how he fed them. It speaks of how he remembered us in our low estate and redeemed us from our enemies, and he giveth food to all flesh. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. There's something to praise him for, that his mercy endureth forever. He doesn't give us what we deserve forever. Ever. Because his mercy endureth. He's righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. Isaiah said, he couldn't say it enough. He said, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He's my song. He's become all my salvation. You know, it's strange that we can understand what it means to empty our hands of something. If you right now had, you've got books and things in your hands right now. If you emptied your hand, they're empty, aren't they? You understand that. That's simple enough. But when it comes to God, when it comes to God, the smartest, most intellectual, most studied theologian there is cannot get into his heart what it is to come to Christ empty-handed. Just can't do it. God has to show us that Christ is all salvation. That all the works that God is looking upon are the works of Christ his Son. That all the that pleases God is his Son. And he views every person, every single person, either as in Adam, who died spiritually and plunged us into spiritual death, or he views them in Christ. He only looks at two people, Adam or Christ. And if we're going to come in Christ, we just come saying, Lord, he's all my salvation. Your Son is all my salvation. God, you are all my salvation. And leave off everything else. Leave off everything else. And he tells us here, verse 15, Isaiah 13:15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You see, we don't just decide one day, we get all sentimental and we decide, well, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus today. And we do that, and then we go on and live like the devil the rest of our lives. Say, well, I got that taken care of. Now I'm going to go on with what's really important to me. When the heart's really been made new and really thirsts after righteousness and pants after the Lord Jesus Christ like the deer panteth after the water brooks, when he really does, that man's going to want to be where God's word's preached. He's going to be where God's, where the songs that are being sung are magnifying his holy name, where it's his name and his wonderful works that are being spoken of. And not only does he praise God when he's meeting to worship God in public worship, but he's thanking God continually. He's walking continually in a continual thanksgiving to God for his Redeemer. Continually. The word, you remember the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said above your food, above your clothing, above your homes, above riches of this world, above anything and everything, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you doing that? It means first, continually, always, all the time, be in the continual act of seeking his righteousness. A glimpse of Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Be always looking for him. Be always praising him. Be always thanking God for him. It's called being spiritually alive is what it's called. It's called walking in newness of life. It's called being made one with God, being at peace with God, where the fields begin to speak to you like they never spoke before, where the trials in your life become have their end in bringing you to the feet of Christ, so that you, rather than pray for the trial to be removed or the thing to be removed, you actually pray, Lord, show me Christ in this. Bring me to your feet. Shed your grace upon me. Pour out your spirit upon me. Lord, continually, continually living upon him. Whether you're sick, or whether you're in health, or whether you have poverty, or whether you have wealth, whether your job's going well or your job's not going well, whether you are everything that you want in life is coming to you, or you can't seem to get any of the things you'd like to have, whatever the case, it says, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. If his praising his name and magnifying his name and his wonderful works and his goodness and all that God is in the fullness of Christ Jesus the Lord, if he calls that praise, then praising him continually is seeking to know more of him continually. And thanking him continually. In 1871, there was a big fire in Chicago. And a man named Horatio Spafford had to send his family to Europe. His wife and his four daughters, he sent them to Europe, and he planned then after they got there, he would go over there and meet them there. Well, on the way across the Atlantic, a ship struck the ship that his wife and his four daughters were in. And his wife watched as their four daughters fell into the Atlantic Ocean and drifted away into the darkness, and she didn't see them again. And she was knocked unconscious and held on to a piece of wood that was drifting until she came to and was saved. And when she got to where she was going, she sent a telegram to her husband back in Chicago. And all it said was, is saved alone. And so Mr. Spafford got his things in order, and he got on a ship and he started going there to meet his wife. His four daughters have died. His wife almost perished. And on the way there, when he gets to the place, about the place where the ship went down, that had his wife and his four children in it, the Lord gave him a song. And this is what he wrote. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. And when sorrows, like sea billows, roll like mighty waves. Whatever my lot, whether it's peace or whether it's sorrow, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. How could somebody praise God like that, knowing they had lost their daughters right there in that place, knowing that the sovereign hand of God that rules everything is the God he worships? How could he be so content and so thankful? Because in Christ Jesus the Lord, he had everything, 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 so that no matter what came along his way, he could say, it's well with my soul. If you know that, you can continually thank God by Christ Jesus the Lord that it's well with your soul. Well, one more thing. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Turn with me to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, I want you to see this. You know how he said that this is the fruit or the calves of the lips that he's talking about? Well, if he brings you to this place where you can thank him, by Christ, for Christ, and truly say, Lord, I live in the continual realization that it is well with my soul. Then after you thanked him for Christ, by Christ, then thank him for giving you a heart to thank him. Because here's what he said. Verse 57, chapter 57, verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. I create the fruit of the lips. Are you thankful? Are you offering up the calves of your lips? He said, I created that. So after you come by him and thank God for him, then thank God that he gave you a heart to thank him. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I will heal him. All right.